Ken told me not to get too comfortable, so here I am again. I am going to help him with a reading from Romans, that from Romans 8, 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in prayer weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also precedent to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be firstborn with a large family. And those whom he preceded, that he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about those things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us. Will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies, who is it who was raised? Who is it that might at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us for the love of percussion or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword, as it is written? For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Though he who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Our second scripture comes from the book of Matthew, which we've been going through for a while. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 14 in the Pew Bibles in front of you, page 14 of the New Testament. I'll make sure that's clear. These now the words of Jesus. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it was grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in the search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and every chance to come together in fellowship and to grow in knowledge of your word. I pray that the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be holy in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, those of you that have been here the last few weeks, I don't know about you, but when I saw the scripture for this week, first thing that came to my mind was, again with the parables. Jesus is really good at telling these parable things. And I hope you don't mind, but it's just a little too warm. I'm going to take my jacket off. In a recent book study that Pastor Will led, we read a book by Brian McLaren. And in that book, Brian related a fictional interview between a modern-day television reporter and Jesus. Now, before they went on air, she told Jesus, "Now, you've only got 60 seconds, so you're going to have to make your answers nice and quick." And when they went on air, she said, "So we're here with Jesus of Nazareth, and he's going to tell us about a thing called the kingdom of heaven." And she said, "So tell us all about this." And Jesus started out with, "Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who had 10 coins. And one of she lost one." And he went on and told the parable. And next thing you know, the time's up. And she says, "Thank you very much, and we'll be back." But it piqued her curiosity. And after the interview was over, the interviewer still wanted to sit down and talk with Jesus. She was hoping to get deeper in this whole kingdom of heaven thing. But what she got was more parables. Jesus says in the scriptures, the psalm said, "I will come and I will speak in parables, and that will open up the treasures that I've had hidden since the beginning of time." And so every time she's asking him, "What's the kingdom of heaven about?" he says, "Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who had a really good crop and decided to build more barns." Or, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." She wanted just a plain, simple answer. What's the kingdom of heaven like? Isn't that the way we really like things in America these days, especially? We want 7 quick steps to the kingdom of heaven. We want it simple and easy. But Jesus doesn't make it simple and easy. The answer to why it's that way comes right in the middle of all these parables. Pastor Will read it last week when he read, "Let him who has ears hear." Let him or her who has ears hear. What God's trying to do is get us to go deeper. What Jesus was saying by using parables was that not everybody's going to get this. Some people are going to hear it, and their initial reaction is going to be, "It's nonsense. I'm not going to listen to that." And some people are going to hear these parables and are going to say, "What does that mean?" And they're going to want to go deeper. They're going to learn more. And I think the question today to ask is, has God been asking you to go deeper? In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given you as well. I want to relate a story from a few weeks ago. We were at the church camp out, and I got up there early on Saturday morning up at Boyd Lake State Park, that one. And I got up there early, and I took a couple of the younger boys from our youth group with me. And we got up there early, and of course, as soon as we drove into the park, they grumbled about how bored they were going to be. And then they promptly pulled their shirts off and ran and jumped in the water and started swimming around, having a ball. About an hour or so later, one of the mothers showed up with 2 of the older boys from our youth group. Now, they came walking down to the beach, and of course, the younger boys came up to say hi and see what was going on. And something really cool happened. One of the older boys saw a football sitting on the beach, and he picked it up, and he just yelled, "Go deep!" And one of the younger boys just took off down the beach. Not a moment of hesitation. Just took off down the beach, looking over his shoulder the whole way, totally trusting that that older boy was going to get that football right in his hands. Now, is that how we come to God? that really struck me in that as adults, what we tend to do, even when we're hearing the call of God, is to kind of overthink things. We tend to say, well, I'm not really sure. You know, I really want to get into the Scriptures. I'd really like to know more about the Bible, but I've got things to do, and, you know, maybe this night's not the best for me. You think about it, you talk about it, you pray about it. But God was saying to us, I want you to go deep, and I want you to go as a child. We go to Matthew 19. The children are coming up to Jesus and trying to sit on Jesus' lap, and Jesus is blessing them and hanging out with them. And the apostles start shooing the children away, and Jesus says, no, let the children come. Let the children come, for the kingdom of God is for those, it belongs to those such as these, the little children. So if you're hearing God's call, whether it is getting into the Scriptures more, trying to figure out what those parables mean, maybe something's putting on your heart, I want to help people. I want to work somewhere like a food kitchen or something and do mission trips. Maybe it's that you want to testify and tell your own testimony or become a leader in the church. There really is no need to stop and think and talk and pray about it. If it is of God, then God is calling you. And how are you going to come to God? Are you going to come to God like an adult, thinking about it and praying about it? Or are you going to come to God as a child? When God says, go deep, are you going to stand there and ask, which direction? How far? Over my left shoulder or my right shoulder? Or are you just going to run and trust that God's going to get that football to you? I hope, and being an adult, I know it's not that easy, but Jesus said, Jesus didn't say to the apostles that I want you to think about following me. Jesus walked up and said, drop your nets and follow me. The apostles didn't stand around talking about it. They dropped their nets and they started following Jesus. Are we thinking along those lines? Sometimes as adults, I think we need to refine that trust that little kids have. That trust that the younger boy had, that the older boy was going to get that football into his hands no matter which direction he ran or how fast he went. Mark also said, reiterated, let the children come to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. And he went even further. Jesus said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a child will never receive the kingdom. That's heavy words. You know, I've been really nervous about coming up and preaching for this week and next week, but at the same time, I've been really excited. I have to temper myself because I'm at a point where God is really working in my life. And there are times when I have to say, okay, is this really what happens? But there are times when I know, when God is saying, plain and simple, I want you to go deep. Now, here's the thing. When God calls us to go deep, He doesn't always tell us exactly which way to go or what to do. He just wants us to go. God is a great quarterback. He doesn't care if He goes down the sideline or go down the middle or across the middle. God just wants us to go. I know this is going to sound like sacrilege to some people here this morning, but God is a great quarterback. He's even better than John Elway. I know. I'm going to hear from about that one for a while. But what we have to look at when we hear God's call, plain and simple, we have to look at God's assurance. In the passages that Mary wrote or read from Romans, we know all these things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For those He called, He justified. For those He justified, He glorified. I had a pamphlet land in my hand a couple years back I don't know where it came from, really. It said, certified lay minister. And I opened it up and read through it. I thought, that's kind of neat, you know? I'm not at a point in my life where I want to drop everything and go back to school full time and become an ordained pastor. But this is an opportunity where I could take my gifts, the things that God has given me, and maybe I could use them to serve God and to serve you. And so I went for it. And then when the licensed pastor school came up recently, a few months ago, I saw that and went, just hit me. I want to go. I needed approval from Will, and I needed approval from the superintendent, and I called them up, and amazingly enough, they both went, great! And they wrote me great letters of encouragement, and they recommended me. So here's the thing. When God calls us, whether it is to go deeper into Scripture, just to read the Bible more, just to find out what those parables mean and what they have to do in our lives. When God calls us to serve at a food kitchen, crop walk, Habitat for Humanity. When God is surrounding with people who are saying, you know, you're a really good leader and we could use that around the church. There's no reason to stand around and wait. The only thing you're going to do is sit back later on and go, why did I waste all that time? If it is of God, if God is calling you to share His love, if God is calling you to go deeper into His Word, if God is calling you to serve, it is of God. And there's no reason to sit around and wait and pray. Go deep and let God throw that football. And God assures us that football is going to get to us. Maybe not the way we always think, but He assures us it will. I repeat the phrase from Romans. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else of all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. So when you hear those parables, are you saying, what the heck does that mean? I really want to know. Or are you just too busy to not right there, right there? Is there something on your heart, or is God calling you to go deeper? Don't pray about it. Just go. Just go. Amen?